What does it mean to step into the life God has created specifically for you? How do you lean into the immeasurably more that only He offers? How do God's dreams become your own? My name is Susan McPherson, and I am so glad you joined me and some of my friends as we discover how to live a life of meaning and purpose with Jesus at the center. I like to call it living the God Girl life. Welcome to the conversation. Hi, God Girls. We're so glad you're joining us this week. I am excited to introduce my guest, Heather Creekmore. She is an author. She is a speaker. She is a Christian body image coach, and I can't wait to hear more about that. And we're just thrilled to have you here, Heather. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan. It's so great to be with you.
Oh, it's wonderful. And I would love to just start off with you telling us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I am a homeschooling mom of four, and I was homeschooling way before COVID made it a thing for everyone.
So how old are your kids?
My oldest is 14, and okay. I had four and under for about 5 months. So our kids are just right back to back to back.
Oh,
so 14,
gosh.
13, 11, and almost 10.
Listen to you. Ours are all 2 years apart. And I thought that.
Okay.
What did I have? I think I had three under four at one time. That was a lot. You outdid me there.
Well, I don't remember any of it. So
it's all a blur.
Right. But I'm married to a pastor. I actually married a F-18 pilot in the Marine Corps. And we took a dramatic turn a couple years after he got married. He felt called into ministry. And so we moved to Dallas for him to go to seminary, and we planted a church. And now he's just a pastor on staff here at a church in Austin. But so I enjoy being a pastor's wife. And, you know, I'm my background is actually in public policy and political management.
You're so kidding.
So it's kind of funny. So I'm always, people are like, what do you do? I'm like, well, I'm actually pretty qualified to, you know, tell you how to vote or write a bill for you if you need some legislation. But what I do day to day is I speak to women, I write for women, and now men too, somewhat. I coach women who are struggling with body image and comparison issues. And I really just feel like it's a strange thing for me to be doing this. That's just another big part of my story, because this is something I struggled with for most of my life. And so to even be here talking to you today about this is kind of surprising to me. Always when I do this, I'm going to talk about body image issues again in public. But it's been a tremendous blessing just to see how God will use our stories and bless us for sharing them.
Oh, that's excellent. Excellent. And I think that is a common issue for, I would say, a majority of women. Is that true? You probably know the statistics.
Absolutely. So about 3 years ago, I did a study, and I originally went into it hoping to compare how Christian women struggle with body image issues compared to women who don't claim to have any kind of faith. And my circles were a lot wider and broader with Christians. And
really?
So I didn't actually get good enough data to make that case, but I did have more than 300 Christian women tell me about their body image and comparison struggles. And
wow.
Susan, when I compared that data to what's available just, you know, broadly in terms of how women feel about their bodies or how many times a day women have negative thoughts about their bodies, the statistics among Christian women were just matching, just, you know, bit for bit, right up with the statistics of women who didn't claim to have any kind of faith. So it is a big issue. It's affecting a lot of women. It's affecting a lot of God girls.
I believe it's
holding them back from really being able to enjoy life to the fullest here and to serve their purpose, whatever God has called them to, and be excited about that. So
that's so true. It's so true. I'd love to hear your faith journey.
Yeah.
If you could just share a little bit about that, that'd be wonderful.
Sure. So I was raised in a Christian home. I probably said the sinner's prayer before I could tie my shoes. And probably 100 times after that, whenever the hellfire and brimstone preacher got up, you know,
<That's>
just in case it didn't take the first time prayers. And, you know, I went to Christian schools starting in seventh grade. I went to a Christian college. I went to a Christian graduate school. And so, Susan, I knew the scripture, and I was a good girl. I would have just classified myself as that. I was a rules girl. I followed the rules. I was probably a little bit, maybe more on the legalistic side, in that, you know, it was what was, you do what's right and you get what's right. coming to you kind of thing. And I just had this one thing, this one issue, and that was, I was kind of obsessed with what I looked like. And I don't know that I could have called it that at the time, honestly, because I believed that every woman that I knew had the same things going through her head all the time about what she looked like and what she weighed and what she was going to do to lose more weight and, you know, how she was going to get her hair right and her skin right and all those things. And these are constant thoughts in my head, a constant dialogue. And I believe that that was just a normal girl thing. And I also believe that that was kind of separate from my life as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. Like, I did not see how the two intersected, because I knew the scripture. I knew I was fearfully and wonderfully made. I knew I was God's masterpiece. I knew 1 Samuel that God looked on my heart. Mm-hmm. And yet, when I heard those verses, they just kind of, I don't know, like Teflon, like didn't stick, right? Like, yeah. I would be like, yeah, okay, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, but I'd rather be more fearfully and wonderfully made like she is.
Right, right.
Or exactly. If I'm God's masterpiece, like I'm kind of the back gallery, like the hidden one. I'm not like, you know, prime gallery, right? And so there was a disconnect. But really what happened for me, I was probably in my mid-30s when God just surprised me, really knocked me over in a sense with an answer about this body image obsession that I had literally had since the third grade. So we're talking age 9 to age maybe 36. So decades.
That's a long
struggling time. With just constant body obsession. How can I lose the weight? What can I do to make my body better? What new diet can I try? What new exercise plan can I try? And what God really showed me was that I did have a spiritual problem that I didn't even know. Like, I could not have identified it for you, but God showed me that I was serving a body image idol. And when he pointed that out to me in a very gracious way, like our God does, right?
Yes.
That changed everything for me. And I was suddenly able to hear those scriptures in a completely different way that had just kind of bounced off me before. And I was able to really surrender a lot of that struggle and obsession to him in a way that actually stuck.
Oh, that is amazing. I can honestly say I've struggled so much, not only body image, but it's that whole package. It's the looks, it's the appearance. And where do you think that stems from? I think I know. I think, you know, we see a lot of things in the media and just images that are perfect that really in real life aren't, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we're bombarded with images.
We are.
You know, and it's impossible to write that off without saying it has any impact at all. But yet, if we look at scripture, I mean, look at Rachel and Leah, you know, they had a comparison problem, right?
Did.
We know that Leah's eyes were dim. And in that day, that was not a good thing, right?
Right.
So it's like, yes. The media is impacting us. It's influencing us. Like, boy, girls now with social media have it so much harder than I had it in college, where there was no such. Actually, I don't even think I had an email address until my senior year.
Right? I obviously didn't. I'm older than you.
So
I didn't have a computer.
Right. No, I took a word processor to college.
Yeah, me too.
But you know, so it's a completely different ballgame and a completely different level of struggle. But there is something going on in our heart, I think, that we can identify and see that even people like Rachel and Leah in scripture thousands of years ago struggled with as well. And so I think that that's hopeful, right? Because we're never going to get rid of those images unless we move into caves.
Exactly. Well, and I love, you have a wonderful website. Tell everyone the name of your website.
It's Compared to Who.
Compared to Who.
Compared to Who. Me.
Me. So I encourage everyone to go there. There's a body image quiz that you can take and get an assessment. But one of your blog posts I absolutely loved, and maybe we can give everyone just a sneak peek. And then they can check out on your website, maybe the rest of the habits, but it's 10 habits of women with healthy body image. Yeah. Can you give us a couple of those? I thought these were just a wonderful, wonderful takeaway for us to watch. One of the ones that stood out to me, and that's why I kind of mentioned all the media and the images that we see, is be careful what we are watching, right?
Right. And I love that one because the women I work with, women who, like me, were counting every calorie, or now it's macros, right? They were very conscious of what they were eating, right? Extremely conscious of what they're consuming. And so my point there is, are we watching as carefully what we were consuming with our eyes, right? Yeah. The Psalms tells us, I can't think of the reference right now, but in Psalms we're told to turn our eyes from worthless things. The verse goes, turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life in your ways, right? And so there's a lot of worthless things that we look at every day, maybe even every hour, right? And we have a choice in that, right? We have a choice as to whether or not we're going to consume that image. And I think, you know, I feel like for a long time, I would hear in certain circles like that men needed to be careful what they looked at, right? Because men are visual. But women, you know, we could get away with more, right? Like watching that scene on that movie, that doesn't impact me the way it impacts a man. You know, all of these conversations are happening. But I think the reality is, oh my goodness, we as women are certainly affected by images, maybe not in the exact same way that men are, but we are impacted, right? And so we do have to watch carefully what we see, because honestly, how many of us have been scrolling Instagram, having a good day, like, I'm just going to get on my phone and just do a little scroll. And then 5 minutes later, you're not having a good day anymore.
Exactly. Right? I really have felt anxiety just overtake me sometimes. It might not even be body image issues or looks. It could be something, oh, look what she's doing and I'm not doing enough. Or there's so many things we have to really guard our eyes and our hearts. Absolutely. And, you know, the images in the movies and, you know, they're all perfected by all kinds of trickery and all kinds of makeup. And, you know, it's just an unrealistic expectation anyway.
Right.
But yes, I'm such a believer, and I have felt conviction in my heart from the Lord when something I'm watching is not what He would advise. Yeah. And so I've really stayed tuned into that.
For sure.
What are some other good habits?
Well, I think, I don't know if it's number one or number two on there, but we have to be in the Word. Right. Absolutely. Because, and you know, this is the, of course, she's going to say, I need to read my Bible. But here's the truth, right? If we are going to truly expect ourselves to define beauty the way God's Word defines beauty instead of the way the world defines beauty, we have to have some sort of frame of reference for what that definition is, right?
Exactly.
Like we talked about, every single day, we are seeing images, we are being marketed to, we are getting and we understand exactly what the world's definition of beauty is.
That's right.
But God's, that's a little fuzzier, right? And so if we're spending our, you know, 3 minutes a day in the Word and 3 minutes an hour on social media, it's just not, it's making it a much bigger battle than it needs to be. So we have to be in the Word.
We really have to be. And it's the living Word, and He will speak to us through His Word.
Absolutely.
What's another tip? Another habit?
Well, you know, I think I mentioned part of my journey was obsession, right? And so I think we get to a point with things like exercise where we're able to enjoy it and not obsess over it or treat it as if it is penance for our sins that we committed at the table, right? Or maybe not at the table, maybe standing or hiding in the closet.
Right.
Whatever, exactly. Right?
Yeah.
You know, but being able to be free to move and enjoy exercise and enjoy activity, but not feel this obsessive, you know, really a compulsion that we have to work out because we were quote unquote bad with right. our eating.
Oh, those are fabulous. There are 10 total in this blog post. I highly recommend you all visit her website and check it out because I thought it was really, really helpful. Now, I want to talk about a couple other things, some really fun things that I learned about you. There is a TV show on Netflix called Nailed It. And you competed on this, correct?
I did.
What was that like?
I am the first contestant of the first episode. Mm-hmm. And a little insider information here, that episode was actually recorded as episode 3 for the first season, but my cake was so bad that they moved that up to the pilot, okay?
Are you serious?
Yeah, so you probably saw, like, if you have Netflix, you probably saw this, like, leaning Cookie Monster blue cake. That was the icon for the show. That's me. That's you can see my red hand right there. So, no, you know what, Susan? But it is honestly, it was a super fun experience. But honestly, to me, it was such an evidence of how well God knows the secret desires of my heart. Now, let me explain that just a little further. I have always loved cooking shows. I have, like, before the Food Network existed, like, I would flip to the back of the magazine when it was Pillsbury Bake Off time
and
read about that. Like, I loved that stuff. But I am not a perfectionist in the kitchen. I enjoy cooking, but baking requires some degree of detail, and yes. I don't have time for that. So it doesn't always come out very well. And aww. I got a random email one time inviting me to be part of a bake show, and I thought, this is totally fake, but I'm going to fill it out anyway because I'd really like to do that. And it turned out to be a brand new show for Netflix. So it was a lot of fun. And again, just a testimony that, like, you know, I mean, for God to find a bake show that I could be on, like, that's a pretty
that
big deal.
That is incredible.
That's like getting into like an NFL you? Team.
How did they find you? Did someone recommend you or?
No, they probably should have. No, I had used the hashtag bake fail maybe three times on various things that I had ruined on social media. And so they did a universal search for hashtag bake fail and there I was.
That is awesome. Oh, I love it. Okay. I have to watch your episode, but I did see your cake on the Netflix little channel, whatever, the photo that they use. So that is wonderful. I love it. Now you do have a podcast too. Compared to Who is the podcast?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
You know, I do some interviews. I'm starting to go back to more of a solo podcast kind of format, but really I'm just talking about the issues that women struggle with, like having a whole closet full of clothes that are not the right size. And I mean, after COVID, that's probably most of us, right?
Yes, definitely. I did purge a lot of it.
You know, so we talk about just real things like that. You know, what do you do when you know you need to lose weight, but, you know, you feel obsessive about it? Where's the balance there? How do you enjoy exercise and not make it this thing you have to do as penance for eating poorly? How do you stop comparing yourself to others? How do you stop chasing this ideal of the perfect you and accept who God created you to be and you know, what God wants you to do for his kingdom on this earth? So we talk about just a lot of different issues like that. Like, I just like to be real.
Love that.
So we have a good time.
it's just so important. And we talk about the comparison and all of that. You have a new book. Tell us about this. This is really, really interesting to me and so relevant, along with the body image issues. Tell us about your book. It is called, tell me, The Burden of Better, correct?
Yes.
Tell me the subtitle.
Yep. It's How a Comparison-Free Life Leads to Joy, Peace, and Rest.
Excellent. I don't have the right contacts in, so I can't read.
I'm right there. I totally understand.
I'm just being real. I should grab my glasses, but okay. Let's say that again. The burden of better.
How a comparison-free life leads to joy, peace, and rest.
Rest. I love that. Okay. Tell us about the book. I'm going to read a quote that I watched your trailer, and I love this quote. Comparison's ladder has no top rung. It's an endless climb.
Yes.
That is so true. So tell us about the message of your book.
Yeah. So, you know, I started Susan with my first book writing about body image, and I had women coming to me saying, okay, we're doing better on the body image front, but what about the way we compare our houses and our marriages and our home, our cars and our jobs and all those things? And so I really went into just a time of seeking God, like, what is the answer to comparison? Right. And a lot that I saw out there was even in Christian circles, I would read things like, well, it's just human nature. So we're just stuck comparing. We're just always going to compare ourselves. And as I searched scripture some more, I realized, no, wait a second here. Like envy and jealousy and covetousness, like those are things that God speaks out against. So the answer can't be that we're just, it's human nature. It's my flesh. Right. I guess I'm just always going to compare. No, there has to be a way out of it. And so really the book, the first part of the book is just a deeper dive into what is comparison really. Comparison is this nice word, right? This nice, polite word that we use. But really with a lot of humor and a ton of grace, we talk about the fact that there is a root of sin here, right? Like these are things that God cares about. And so for us just to be like, tee hee hee, I compare, is really disregarding, you know, how God instructs us on these matters. And so we talk about that, but we also talk about just the ways that comparison impacts us that we don't even recognize, right? Like we've probably all shared the comparison is a thief of joy meme or, you know, don't compare your behind the scenes to someone else's highlights reel. Like we know those quotes, that cliche, but yeah, what do we do about it? We press the little heart and we keep on scrolling. And so I really felt like I needed to give my readers a way out, a way to actually stop that comparison train before it leaves the station. And so the second part of the book is really a deep dive into grace, which I believe that a lot of our comparison issues are a shallow understanding on our part of just how many ways God's grace impacts us every single day. And like I said, I was raised in a Christian home. I sang Amazing Grace, but honestly, Susan, I was probably a little bit more of a Pharisee, right? Like I didn't really understand that it was God's grace that like just impacted my life in so many ways. I really thought if I could just be better, do better, you know, then God would bless that. So the book offers freedom to stop striving, right? And to find rest. And what I, you know, the rest part was, it was kind of like a last minute, you know, in the editorial process, like, oh, we need a third word here. Rest. we'll add rest, right? But it's that part, just when I was writing the book, that was the part where I felt like God was just showing me things that I'd never seen before. Because isn't that why everyone goes on a diet? Right? You go on a diet because you hope at the end of 6 weeks or 6 months or however long your journey is, you'll be able to rest.
Rest.
Right? Exactly. Like you never go on a diet wanting to be on the diet for the rest of your life. Right. You know, or why do we fix up our homes? Because we have this false belief that as soon as we get our house perfect, like Joanna Gaines would approve, then we can rest.
Right.
But that's not the way it works when we're chasing better here on this earth.
Oh
right?
My gosh.
Because so you get off the diet and you're never, well, most of us get off diets by by getting off the diet,
falling off the wagon. That's it.
But even like anyone who's tried to remodel a part of your house, like what happens? Like we had to repaint our bathroom. We moved in and I was like,
oh no, now the white trim in the bathroom is whiter than all the trim in the house. So now I've got to go paint this other room. And, you know,
it's a domino effect. Exactly.
Absolutely. Right.
Yes. And so I think it's rest that we seek, and we believe falsely that if we could just get the thing, if I could get the job, then I could rest. If I could get the man, then I could rest. If I could get my marriage perfect, then I could rest. Just get my kids just perfect. Then, and there's always going to be one more thing. That's not where rest is found. Rest is found in Christ alone. And so that's good news. The pressure's
off. That is great news. And I love how you provide practical ways to get there. I think that's where we get tripped up too, is we just don't know how to escape.
Right.
You know, like you said, it's just that continual motion of striving. And so it's just beautiful that you can provide those practical ways of really getting off that hamster wheel of striving. And I know so much of what you talk about, Heather, and what you're teaching, I need myself. And I know the listeners are going, yes, yes, where can I get a hold of this book? And you have two books. So you've got this book. And then what was your first book?
It was called Compared to Who.
Compared to Who?
So I'm consistent. My show's Compared to Who. My website's Compared to Who.
We know you're the go-to girl for this. It's wonderful. And then you do coaching as well. Tell me a little bit about your coaching.
I do. So we like to start women in a course that we offer through my website called Refocus, which kind of comes loosely from Romans 12, 1 and 2, the renewing of your mind, right? So we try to start women on a course where instead of thinking about their body and the way they've thought about their body for years or decades, I have a lot of women over the age of 50 and 60 even that are coming saying, I've struggled with this since I was 12. Can you help me?
Sure. Yes.
So we start with that course, but then I do group coaching and individual coaching where essentially I'm just helping women identify this body image idol and the ways that it has been a part of their life, often unseen, for this whole struggle. We identify the lies. It's amazing how many of us started hearing lies as young as elementary school, and have kept them for decades. And what's been really interesting is as I work with women, I'm finding I've probably worked with over 100 women now, and it's always the same, Susan. Sometimes it's scary, a little eerie even, because the wording is almost exactly the same, where it's like, wow, we do not have a creative enemy, right? Like, he's just using the same lies on all of us. And yet we accept it as truth. And so we do some talking about, like, you know, how to combat the lies, how to take them captive and put them at the foot of the cross. And what do those lies look like? And how have those lies impacted decisions that we make every day? A lot of my clients are following food rules that they've been following since high school, where those rules have become so consuming that they may not admit this out loud to anyone other than me, but they don't want to go out to dinner with their husband because what if the restaurant doesn't have something that meets those rules? You know, I don't want to go to a social occasion because people will be watching what I eat and I don't eat those things, or, you know, and this is kind of outside. I'm not talking about like full-blown eating disorder. I'm just talking about women that are just struggling, right? Yes. Just like, okay, I've got these obsessive thoughts and I don't have any idea what to do with them. I love Jesus, but man, this thing is dominating my life, my thought life, and I need some freedom.
Oh, gosh. And women especially can be so hard on themselves anyway. And I can imagine, you know, starting in elementary school or, you know, growing up, I played with a lot of Barbie dolls. Mm-hmm. So I always thought, oh, they were the perfect image, you know, and I never looked like one. So it was, you know, I've struggled with all kinds of body image. When I was young, I'm 5'9", so I'm really tall. I was stick thin. And so for some, you know, when people say body image, they always tend to think overweight or those. Mine was the complete opposite. Right. And it made me feel so ugly. And, you know, kids can be cruel. And so I totally understand. And whoops, my earplug fell out. But I totally understand what happens in your thought process. And it has always been on my mind my whole life. You know, not now. I now no, I went through menopause and that all changed. So I'm not stick thin anymore, but I still, you know, body image is definitely on my mind all the time, and appearance. And as you get older, for those of us who are getting older and showing our age a little more, that's a whole nother thing. So, and the whole comparison issue can really get you tripped up as your looks start changing too. So, so this is an important message, Heather.
Oh, thanks.
So Susan. Grateful. Yeah. So grateful. And it's just rooted in God's word, which is really where our hope lies. That's really where the answer is, right?
Right. And, you know, it's so interesting because I think the biggest lie, the biggest struggle that I have to help women get over is understanding that you can change your body and you can still struggle. Right. You can lose that weight. You can get the surgery in some cases. You can do all the things and you can still struggle with your body image. You can still not arrive there. And so, and I work with a lot of women who have, you know, lost the weight, done the things, and they're like, what now? Right. I have nothing left. And so you're exactly right. God's word is our only hope. If the solution's not there, you know, we are sunk. So praise God it is.
Praise God it is. And you're just so wonderful at helping guide women through his word to find those answers and to find those practical solutions. So just thrilled to talk with you about this. I could really use a conversation on the side with just about myself. I think you can do some coaching.
Sounds good. We'll book a session for you.
There you go. I love it. I love it. So what I love to do at the end of the podcast is just ask you some fun questions that show a little bit more about your personality and some of the things you like. So I start off with this question. What is your favorite movie?
Ooh, so it's so funny. This totally relates to my body image struggle. And it's not intentional that I'm giving you this answer. My favorite movie since high school has always been My Fair Lady.
Oh,
so it's a classic.
Wow. Yes.
But you know, in my older years, I have analyzed and like, that's about a woman who is like not good enough and right. She becomes a lady. Could there be a connection there? So
there could be. Oh, that's excellent. Okay, what is your favorite morning beverage?
Ooh, coffee for sure. But I had adrenal issues a couple years ago, so I drink decaf, and I feel like I have to tell people I had adrenal issues so they're not like, ooh, decaf. But oh, funny thing, that's the only way.
Saying decaf is interesting because I do half regular, half decaf.
Okay.
Because I will get the shakes if I drink regular coffee. So even when we go out for breakfast, or I'm always like, can I have a half calf? And we'll have to brew. They don't always have brewed decaf. No,
they do not. So, they do not. So I have to go
that's
without.
That's discrimination. Come on, people.
Right. Get that changed. I'll write the legislation changed. For you.
There you go. There you go. Oh, that would be a whole nother podcast talking about that job. Okay. So what is your favorite hymn or your favorite worship song?
Oh, goodness. The names of hymns always...
I don't like putting people on the spot.
Song
it's always
names.
Interesting.
Where's that file? Let me find the file of song names. Yeah. What is the hymn?
Did you grow up in a church with hymns?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
So did I.
And so if I could access that part of my brain right now, I'd totally hit you with one.
I'll tell you, my favorite hymn probably is How Great Thou Art.
Yes.
Or It Is Well With My Soul. Those are
yes,
my two.
Actually, I really like that one too. Yeah. You know, there's a new song we've been singing at our church, and even that has left me. You know, actually, the song that is in my trailer that I was singing and what I was thinking about this book was God, You're So Good.
Oh,
and that's a song. Yes. So there's a new version of it. I don't know if you've heard it or you sing it at your church, but I grew up singing, you know, just the, oh, you don't really want me to sing, but you know, just the God, You're So Good. Like I grew up singing that song.
I love that. Yes.
And there's a newer version of it and I love it. But it was really like listening to that song where I was like, wow, do I really believe that God is good to me? Mm-hmm. Because I'm standing here comparing myself with other women around me thinking he's better to them. Right. And so there's conviction that comes with that song, but I do love it.
I love that. And that's part of the trailer. And you can see that on her website. And it's just beautiful. It's beautiful. I could relate to what you were saying in that trailer. Okay. Who has been the most influential person in your life?
Oh, well, absolutely my mother. Mm. You know, she had a lot of wisdom. I got a lot of lectures. She had a lot of words.
Still does. but now that I'm a mom of a teenage daughter, I'm like, oh, now I understand.
Well, oh, she needed
so
yes.
many words. It takes yes. a lot of words.
Oh, it sure does. those teenage years are trying for sure. And you look back to how you were then.
I apologize. My parents were just in town and I said, I'm sorry. Sorry for how I was as a teenager.
I can relate to that. And then who is your favorite God girl? It doesn't have to be someone you know, just maybe someone you look to.
You know, choosing one. Oh, I wanted to say Elizabeth Elliot, and then I'm like, can I find something? But no, I mean, you know, she's incredible.
Incredible.
Was incredible, right?
Absolutely.
So, and you know, my oldest is about to actually read the End of the Spear book for his, I had to purchase it for him today. And just think, like, I remember reading that story, hearing that story, and just thinking, like, how can you go back to those people that killed your husband? And then it's like, that is just, that blows
me away. It's incredible. That's such a good choice. Bravo to you. And for those of you who don't know who she is, you really need to look into that. She's
absolutely
an amazing example of what forgiveness is and what forgiveness brings, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's
Amen.
So true. Well, this has been such a joy. I could talk to you all day.
I loved it.
I hope this is the start of a friendship because
absolutely.
Amazing. So let's tell everyone where they can find you one more time.
Yeah. I'm at comparedtowho.me. So .me.
Okay.
And my show is Compared to Who. I'm Compared to Who on YouTube. All the places on socials, although I hate to drive people to social media.
I know.
but Compared to Who, all those places. And,
okay.
And my books are Compared to Who and Burden of Better, and they're both on Amazon and every place Christian books are sold.
Great. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Heather. It's been a joy, Susan. And a pleasure.
I enjoyed it.
I loved it. And God Girls, thank you for visiting us again this week. We just are so thankful to be living for the Lord, and in our homes, in our community, and in our world, we are living the God Girl life. So thanks for joining us. Have a blessed week, everyone.